Well, Tony, I'm talking. You got to remember, it, you're just talking from A gap to C gap. He can do that, okay? So the times when he's not getting there is when he's having to run that hump. Now, if he gets there and he overruns the tackle, that's one thing. All right, you got to make that play in space. But there are plenty of times where you see him, he's just a tad late, not because he can't run, because he's having to run through too much chunk and too much traffic to try to get to that spot.
Kirby Smart needs to make a jaunt. Where, Al? Tell Jerry where he needs to go.
Well, I can tell you that he didn't get his hair cut at whatever the barbershop that Butch has installed in the athletic facility.
Butch's barbershop.
That's not very high and tight, I can tell you that.
Wow.
I tell you what.
Go ahead.
Butch Jones looked like he went over there to Bates. He had a pretty nice fade, man. I had to give him props. I'm like, man, who did his fade tonight? He looked like he went to Bates Barbershop over there.
Did they call it a touchdown?
Right in front of Austin High School.
Is that where you used to go, or did you go to Gams, Jerry?
I liked Bates because you had the old heads cutting hair, and I thought they took care of your hair a little bit better. I thought Gams, it got to be so popular that it was almost like a machine. You know, it was in and out. But the guys over at Bates Barbershop, you know, they would lay the towel on your forehead, you know what I mean? They would open those pores up, you know, get that line just right.
Yeah.
I go to cut your hair, yep.
How about you, T-Rob? Where you go now that we're...
I go to Obsidian over there off of Prosser Road. There, my man Danny, he hooks me up every week here, man. Every week, so he does a great job with my, you know, even though it's starting to go, but he knows what to do with it.
You got less and less these days to cut, Ton. Here's who Georgia has before they play us. You guys tell me if they're going to suffer a loss. They have the Bulldogs of Samford next week. They have Mississippi State, and then they play us.
I see.
They're going to be unbeaten. They're going to be unbeaten.
I see 1-2.
They're going to be 4-0.
They're 1-2.
They're going to be 4-0. Sky high when we roll in there. The question is, are we going to be undefeated? Actually, they're rolling in here 4-0.
So they already got a road victory.
Hey, that Fromm kid. That Fromm kid just grew from this today.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Oh yeah.
And they had two. Godwin made a huge catch, and Wims made two huge catches in that football game for them.
What we talked about earlier, talking about Tennessee's defense. Their playmakers on offense made plays when it needed to happen. And can I just say, Tony, you talked about
this. And then we'll get our final call in here.
How great was it for us to sit here, a bunch of guys down here, watching a college football game, two powerhouse traditional programs not playing at a neutral site.
Thank you.
Playing on the road in that environment, because I guarantee you that was a better environment than if they played that way that game halfway in the middle in Cincinnati or something.
Oh, yeah.
Damn straight.
And those players will remember. Those players from Georgia, even though it was a road game, they'll remember going to a place like
going
that.
Going to Notre Dame.
Because that's a cathedral for college football.
They're so special.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get our final call in here. I'll tell you what is a cathedral. The Raymere Studio. And the Powerball is 59-20, 06, 57, 29, and 22.
Powerball 22.
That's your Powerball tonight. Let's get our next call in. Our final call of the night, a 4-hour and 30-minute extravaganza this has been. And my wife's going to scream at me when we're done because she says I'm overworking. She told me to get off after 2 hours tonight, and I defied her. Final call. Welcome in.
I just want to thank you guys for doing this show. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you, brother.
And to bring up a point that Jerry was talking about with our linebackers having to go so deep and do kind of a circle to get around to make plays, I mean, our defensive line lining up so deep hurts that also. They're not up on the line of scrimmage, and that's creating more pop from the offensive linemen, which even drives them further back and causes the linebackers not to be able to take a straight shot to the ball carrier. They're always having to loop. And looking at all the recruits, I always decided to pull up and look at the defensive recruits we've had for the last 4 years, starting in 14 to this freshman class that just came in. I don't see how, by just looking at them, the ones that are not here or not contributing, haven't contributed, I don't see how there's not any way that we really need to start playing some of these freshmen to get them experience, because we just don't have the bodies there. I mean, they're either there and they're not going to contribute, or they're just not there anymore. It's just there's nobody there.
And that's the craziest thing of all regarding this whole deal, is that people are looking up, Bill, and they're going, but I thought we did this in recruiting. I'm being serious. And then you watch at defense today and you go, we're so little, we're so thin and little. How could you be thin and little in year five? You're thin and you're tiny. I mean, guys, watch any of the other heavyweight game. And I'm not. And by the way, I am not surrendering this season, because we could go on a run and beat a bunch of people. It's very possible. It's college football, and it's a week-to-week thing. But eyeball test-wise, Tone, look at us and look at Georgia defensively. Look at us, look at Florida defensively. Look at us and look at LSU defensively. Look at us and look at Alabama defensively. Look at us and look at South Carolina defensively. It's like two different worlds.
Yeah, you put it on paper, we're nowhere near nothing.
We don't look like them on paper or on the field.
On the field.
I mean,
no, I'm just saying, we don't exist in some of these teams. But I think we are.
How can that be, Bill? You're in year five. How can that be?
I mean, I was in 14. We've got 6 of 15 that are remaining, and only one of them went to the NFL. In 2015, there's 13, and I can tell probably 2 or 3 of them aren't here, but only, you know, McKenzie was the big name, and Tuttle were the big names, but they're not really contributing a lot. Tuttle's been hurt, and he's probably the best one of those. Abernathy looked pretty good. Daryl Taylor's playing defensive end, but he's kind of light. And then
right,
16,
he could be linebacker.
Yeah, and in 16, you've got Warrior and Kongbo, which everybody wanted. And our best one is Bird, and he's playing wide receiver. He was a top cornerback, but he's playing wide receiver, and none of the rest of them are there. And that just leads me to say that if we don't start playing these freshmen that we brought in this year, and we've got 14 we brought in, if we don't get those guys some experience, we're going to be in the same boat, you know, just next year and in the next, if they don't start getting some playing time.
Jerry?
But
yeah, in fact, it kind of reminds me of the 92 season. People don't realize that 92 season. We were really good in some spots, but I would say as a whole, Tony, going from 89, 90, 91, where virtually you had three pro teams in a row, that 92 season, it was a big drop off in talent, but we had a whole bunch of guys that were new kids. They were talented, and a lot of them, I don't think we even knew where they were even going to end up playing. You know, you had Jason Parker, DeRon Jenkins, Torrey Noel, Trey, who's a lineman starter for Denver with Peyton.
Trey Teague.
Offensive lineman. Trey Teague. And we had veterans,
yep,
but the roster was down to a point where those,
yep,
guys, they just had to play somewhere.
And to your point, a guy like Parker played more as a freshman that he ended up playing. Some of those guys played more football as freshmen than they ended up playing during their careers. But you get in a spot where you go, and I don't think Jones admits this to himself, to our caller. Butch Jones is not going to admit, we're thin, I got holes here. Because that's a knock on him. But I'm here to tell you, we're thin, man. And we're little.
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Oh yeah.
We're lit. Like, I trust my eyes, and I don't let State Run Radio lie to me. We're little. Little.
Well, what is the guys flying to the football?
Flying.
Those guys were huge.
Flying.
I mean, flying. Killing folks. Our guys, I mean, there's nothing against them, but they're small, and they just can't pack that kind of punch.
No.
They're trying.
I feel sorry for them.
Trying hard, but
yeah, I feel sorry for our guys, man, because we're little.
It's just like a lot of either misevaluations or just not getting people in the right spot, not coaching them up. But I've been watching Tennessee football just a little bit before T-Rob started. And I was at the game I remember most of T-Rob was I was at the Auburn game when we beat them in Knoxville, and T-Rob was on the Sports Illustrated cover the next week. But I've never seen a defense play so passive as the way Bob Shoop's defense plays. I've never seen the Tennessee defense this passive. And it was the same way last year they were passive.
And it's unwatchable football. It's unrecognizable, because I'm going to tell you something. Say what you want to say about John Chavis, but his guys never at any of his stops play like Bob Shoop's defense plays for him. Because I got news for you. Shoop's defense, they don't play for him. They don't play for him. I don't know what you call that. I don't recognize that, though.
You know what, Tony? You know what?
Go ahead.
I look at it like this. When you have a guy that comes out of his first start and has 23 tackles, okay, but he was nowhere in the picture. That tells me something about our coaches over there. We're not evaluating our players pretty well. I want my best 11 on the field. When I get a guy comes out, he gets 23 tackles, I'm like, hold up. Where does this guy come from as a fan? I'm like, where did he come from? He doesn't even exist, but he makes 23 tackles.
How about this? I'll give you one better. That coordinator we're talking about, and look, I hate that we're upsetting him, and I hate, because it all gets back to those guys, and I hate he's offended. But let me tell you something. That guy was quoted publicly, a man that makes $1.2 million to sit around in the summer and know his roster, okay? That's their job. He said Georgia Tech is not the right, because the media asked about Patoli. Georgia Tech's not the right game for him.
What? Georgia Tech's not the right game.
If there's a football game going on and we're playing defense, he's the right guy to be on the field. I don't care who we're playing.
Well, thank you.
And I'm going to go back to what Tony said last week, and I'll agree. I think the guy needs to be canned. I mean, cut bait right now and just let him go, because he's already proven from last year to this year exactly what he's going to keep doing.
He sucks.
You get a car oil change every 3,000 miles. I think after 3,000 yards, just cut the defensive coordinator and let him go.
That's a great line.
Dude. I like that one.
That's a time to change the oil. Let me throw a scenario out at you guys. So, and like Tony, you said a second ago, this is a long season. A lot of these games we look at toss-up games. We could be going 4-0 going into Georgia. We may not, but nothing's out of the realm of possibility. So it's not like the season's over. We're 2-0, guys. But let me throw a scenario out where the defensive trend continues, and we end up losing a couple, and the fans start to get upset, and it's Vandy, it's Kentucky, it's towards the end of the year. Butch Jones still has a pretty good recruiting class. Guess who the scapegoat is?
That's not the point. I understand what you're saying, Alex, but here's the thing. I know for a fact that some pretty powerful people have encouraged, in Butch Jones' inner circle, have encouraged him to replace that defensive coordinator. In fact, they encouraged him to replace the defensive coordinator after the Georgia Tech game. I'm talking about this week. And he's not going to do it. And here's the rub to our caller and to anybody listening. Here's the rub. He's going to waste a golden opportunity. Georgia has a true freshman quarterback, and they're very beatable. But they are not going to lose to Bob Shoop. They're just not. They did last year. Let's just face the facts. The way our defense plays as passively as they play, we'll be lucky if they don't put 900 yards of offense on us.
But that's my point,
Tony.
Think about that
offensive line and the way Chubb runs, the way Jordan Scarlett runs. They run downhill, and if our guys are backing up when the snap goes on, they're going to get hit. Those guys are going to go straight ahead.
If our defensive line's playing 10 yards off the ball, definitely we're going to get up.
All right, I'm telling you. Now, maybe Bob Schieff's going to implement something that he hasn't done since he's been here. But I'm telling you right now, I would have made that change after the Georgia Tech game, and I'd have told our fans, we're trying to win the East. Look, if Todd Kelly Jr. can lose his job, Bob Shoup should be able to lose his job.
I like that,
too. Period. Yep.
But my point
it's a meritocracy, guys.
Is I agree with what you guys are saying as far as is the proof is in the pudding. You look at the stats, and you watch the first couple games, and you watch it in the last season. But if you're Butch Jones, what gives you more leverage and what buys you more time if he's 7-8 games into this season you make the move versus now? To me, if you're Butch, that just buys you more time, doesn't it?
No, because our fans are going to snap. Our fans are going to snap if this continues.
Snapping. They're already snapping. Yeah. They're already snapping.
I know, but at that point, if you're Butch, then you've got someone to blame.
Yeah. But, you know,
if he's been playing like that, he's not going to finish with a winning record. There's no way he'll stop some of those offenses.
No, this defense better get a lot better. And here's the thing. I totally believe this. I am not giving up on that Florida game, and I'm not giving up on the Georgia game. I am giving up on the Bama game. They're going to murder us. That's going to be – if they feel like it, oh, my God. Their offensive line and their – the what they do and what we don't do on the defensive line.
They'll run right at you.
Yeah.
They're going to blow us apart.
I mean, they could turn the ball over 9 times probably and still beat us, truth be told.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
They're going to get arrested before they leave Knoxville for child abuse because they're rough now.
Telling you. Jerry, go ahead, man.
And don't forget about this. Remember last year when Florida had us on the ropes in that first half? That offensive coordinator called an awful game. Why that guy just didn't stick to the run and just keep pounding the rock and pounding the rock and pounding the rock.
Yeah.
Is beside me. They put the game in that quarterback's hands. And from there, you know, they gave us a spark. So, I'd say, you know, hold your horses here for a minute because, if that game was played like it was any at all last year, I still do think we got a chance because I don't think that guy will necessarily come on and call the perfect game to match our deficiencies on defense.
But the one thing we had last year, and in that game, starting that third quarter, Derek Barnett, he ripped two or three guys, Florida, a new one, on about every play. And, I mean, he was making play after play after play. We don't have a Derek Barnett to disrupt a running play. And Derek Barnett, as great as he was at pass, getting after the quarterback, the guy could play the run pretty darn good. He could whip somebody up in front of him and hold his ground.
We were so spoiled, and we didn't win with him. It's incredible.
I mean, he made like 4 or 5 plays in a row by himself in that Florida game that just changed the whole start of that half. And yeah, they were trying to pass, but I mean. They had Callaway there for a little while, and, I mean, he could run by the DBs then, too, just like you can when we play them down there next week or the Hurricane doesn't tear everything up down there. But, I mean, we're just so passive, and I just don't see how that's going to get us anywhere the next few days.
I don't see any fire in Shoup either. I don't see any urgency. Did you guys pick that up in the press? Shoup was like, we missed 16 tackles. That's a lie.
Yeah.
We didn't miss any tackles. What the hell is he talking about? Again, I'm talking about the Georgia Tech game. I mean, are you kidding me? They ran us over.
Ran through us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our guys, and, you know, the weight program, losing a year, Butch letting the team rule that and getting the other guy canned, and, I mean, I don't know. Apparently, losing 1 year in the weight program it seems like it's made a big difference in my eyes from what I can see just by the way they play, and they still haven't caught back up. And, of course, if Bob Shoup is coaching the guy that's going on a date with your daughter, you won't have to ever worry about anything happening because they're going to be very passive.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. Good God, Jerry. See what you bring on, Jerry, the element you bring on.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, Tony, when you talk about strength and conditioning, there have been rumors that just, you know, there's different strength conditioning philosophies. And Tony, did you have Bruno Paletto?
Yeah, yeah, Bruno was there, man. And you know, yeah, that Bruno was, I think, one of the best, man. Because Bruno worked our butts off. Now, not saying that I did, but you know, he was everybody else's butt off, man. You know, I mean, Bruno, we were much stronger. I think we were much stronger back then than these guys are today.
Yeah, and some guys, Tony are, and Alex, are powerlifting type strength and conditioning coaches.
Yeah.
I think the guy that we just brought on now, just from some of the guys who had this guy in the league, that's what he's known for. So, but it's going to take a season or two for that to start to turn and turn around. But prior to now, it almost seemed like we had a guy that was more around your wing condition, speed, agility, so on and so forth. But when you look at it, you can kind of see our guys just, man,
they don't have any.
They look different in the past.
we don't have any. What was that? We don't have anything in the tail section, man. You know what I'm talking about? We don't have anything in the tail section there. We got to have.
You talking about we're light.
We're light ass, T. We're light ass. You know what I mean? That's what we're
light. Which is the exact thing that Jerry used to say about Oregon all the time.
Yeah.
There was a comment from Brock Huer, the announcer. Brock is on up here at the ESPN 710 every day, and right after the University of Washington Alabama playoff game, when he came back, he said, "Man, he said I didn't realize how big those guys were." He said, compared to the legs of the UW guys versus the Bama guys, he said it looked like Bama has leg day every day.
Yeah.
You know how some people have leg day every other day? He said it looks like Bama does leg day
every day.
Yeah. So maybe with this new guy in, it'll get us back to more of a powerlifting kind of team where guys.
I wonder what day in Alabama syringe day, Jerry.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
You know, back in our day, you know, when Bruno was there, and after practice, it was weightlifting time. You know what I mean? It was, you know, certain guys, you know, certain positions. Hey, Bruno was right there after practice. When you come here, he was right there, and he knew everybody was supposed to be in that weight room. You know, it was quarterback days or whatever, Tony, weight room. And he would go around looking for me, and I'd be in the weight room, though. I would do my weights. I would get my weights in. But Bruno was on top of it, man. And
we just had a caller say that he would want Shoop coaching your daughter's date.
Oh, man.
Because you know the guy's going to be passive. And Jerry giggled at it. Jerry?
Wow. I think we picked on Shoop enough here.
No, I don't think you can pick on him enough. No, I disagree with that. I don't think. Guys.
Butch is on the radio.
I mean, we have got to get. I don't know. I don't get a sense of urgency from the whole Jones regime. I don't know.
But, hey, Tony.
Yeah.
You know what? Given the year that it is, I'd rather, when the rest of the division is down, give me a quarterback, give me a running back, give me an offensive line, and a couple wide receivers, and a defense that can make timely plays. They don't even have to be great on defense, but if there was going to be ever a down year, give me those weapons. When you're playing in a division where Georgia's a little bit down, Florida's down, you know, they're minus 10 guys, they still don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. So, all in all, this year, I kind of like what we have to play within the East. Bama and LSU, that's a whole different monster, as we know. But in the East, Tony, I swear, I think we got a chance because we got a quarterback, we got a running back, we got an offensive line, and we got some weapons for him to throw to.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. I've only said we're leaving, but I only have time for – my brain scrambled. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, this is Bobby again.
No, we don't do that. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys, it's Wooly Testerman.
Hey, Wooly Testerman. What's up, brother? Welcome in. You'll be our final call tonight, Wooly one.
Okay. I just was thinking tonight, this receiving core could be Juwan Jennings, Preston Williams. Vic Wharton could be in the slot with Callaway getting minutes. How strong would that be?
Wow.
That's just without Butch calling some of the people he likes to call.
Now, did he call? Did he call Wharton? Explain that to me.
Maybe. I think it was maybe blame on both sides. I think there was some egos. I'm just saying from what he recruited. But you know, to not have, obviously, you don't have Juwan Jennings due to the injury. But that'd be a nice little. That'd be like one of the better cores we've had in a while, wouldn't it? The people I mentioned.
You know, it is interesting. Our level of retention, for whatever reason, it just hasn't been what it should be.
I don't know really what else you can say about the defense. At this point, it's almost comical.
For real? Do you think it's for real, or do you think it's going to get better?
No, I don't think. I think there's a huge disconnect. There should be talent. I mean, I think there should be. But I was watching Auburn, Clemson, and also Oklahoma, Ohio State. And, you know, when somebody gets the ball in the flat, you had like six or seven guys run to them. Whereas with us, you got, you know, clear sailing for 10 yards and somebody makes a play 15 yards down the field. Unfortunately, this should be pretty good season. It could be like a 9-win season. Certainly not winning the East or anything, because that'll never happen here as long as I live or you live. But
interesting.
With a good defense, this could be a 9-win team. You know, but now I think it's probably like a 6 or 7-win team. Even with all that, it's just weird. We can never put it together. And with Sack or Shoop was going to be the hire that got us over the top. Kind of feel like. I don't know. It just seems like it's not meant to happen or something, because everybody wrings their hands and they don't know what to say. You know, what can make us better? What can make us better? And then you get a guy that should make us, you know, totally better, and he's just the worst. I mean, this guy makes Sinceri look like, you know, a Buddy Ryan or something. What do y'all think, Jerry?
I still don't think it's worse than Sinceri.
No, it is worse.
Because here's the thing. This offense, you got to look at it. This offense has potential to be good, but make no mistake about it. This offense isn't putting up 40 a game, 35 a game like Tyler Braze did.
Last year had a 21-7 yep. lead on Vandy.
Yeah, you're right.
Tell the truth.
And they go on a 38-10 run to end that game with a Sugar Bowl on the line. This defense gave up 700 yards to Missouri, who was a team that had, like, what, they won four games? They gave up a bunch of yards rushing to a Kentucky team that barely squeaked into a bowl game. And if you remember that Virginia Tech, that one guy early in that game, like, ran around the edge, like, just ran long for, like, 90-yard touchdown in a game we ended up blowing them out by. So it just doesn't add up that this guy, you know, him and the guy that ended up at LSU, Armanda or Arnada, maybe?
Yes, Aranda. Aranda.
Aranda, so perhaps check my pronunciation. And, of course, we have to get the total dud. But this is you can't blame Tennessee for trying right there, because Shoop was the name. So
yep.
All that kind of leads me to believe is Butch is going to be good enough to get fired after this year or next. And if he would have any kind of defense, he'd probably get 5 more years. And the reason I say that is because the expectations at Tennessee from the big money guys are not what they are from the base of Tony Basilio and the callers on this show.
This is true.
All Butch did, and he kind of got unlucky by hiring Bob Poop, was this guy's so bad that Butch is only going to get like 2 more years. When if he'd just hired you know, maybe Peter Poker at defensive coordinator. He's got like 5 more years. I mean, don't you tell me? Nobody over there wants to win more than 9 games. They absolutely don't care. And I'll close with this. This program has not finished in the top 10 of the country since 2001. Let that sink in.
Are you kidding me?
In 2001.
Jerry, give me a final word here on the way out. You've been awesome.
Tony, I feel pretty good about next week. I really do. A lot of that is based on our opponent. Like the caller says, you know what? I do feel good about this offense, and it's only going to get better. Dormady is a quarterback, and he can fling it. And the thing about it, man, he's leaving plays on the field right now. If there's one thing that he showed, the kid has composure under pressure. He showed that game one. I think he's going to carry that down to Gainesville, look for our offense to put up points. And I think Florida's offense is just so right now just discombobulated. I think they're actually going to help us out. Any other year, I think we'd be in a lot of trouble. But they have a lot of patchwork to do themselves. So, you know, if it comes down to us having to score 30, 31 points, I think this offense is up for it in a shootout.
Jerry, I love you. I love your passion. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, Tone. See you.
What a great job by him. Tone, give me a final thought here. The Vol legend himself, the great Tony Robinson, who's been in studio with us. He's come back home. He's come back to the Raymier studio once again. Close us out here on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
Well, T, to sum it all up, I think our offense is going to be in good shape. We got a lot of work to do on defense. So, but I feel, like Jerry said, I feel confident about us going down to Florida next week and coming home, coming back to Knoxville for a win. But, I want to say this too, though. I'm going to send my prayers out to all my family and friends in Florida. Hope everything's going to be okay, and all the residents in Florida. Hope everybody's going to be okay. And just want everybody to just say the prayer, pray for everybody in Florida. Also, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, ESPN, 30 for 30, Year of the Scabs. Please take a look at it. Tell me what you think.
You're 30 for 30?
Yeah.
Is on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock.
It's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock.
Well, thanks.
30 for 30. I thought you knew about that, T. 30 for 30. You have the Scabs come out. It'll be Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on ESPN.
Alex, close us out. Final thought from Al Myers.
Basically, everything that is going to be said has been said tonight. But I'll recap by saying great callers tonight. And to the last caller's point, he's exactly right. You know, the expectations have been lowered, and not by everybody, not by all the fans, not by everybody at UT, but overall, you can tell. But I will say this: while there is a lot to a lot for fans to moan about, for now, we have not lost. It's week two, 6 weeks down the road. We could be in good shape. We could be having a lot more to complain about. But for this week, the next 6-7 days until Florida game, I'm going to enjoy it. And in my mind, I'm going to pump us up because just like Jerry said, this offense is good enough to where they can go out and score high 20s, low 30s if they need to. And I don't know that Florida's offense is good enough to do that. Yeah. So while we got a shot and while we're undefeated, I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm not going to sulk. I'm going to enjoy the season because college football doesn't come around often enough to just sit here and sulk about it.
It's a week-to-week deal. Right. And until we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, this is Tony Basilio thanking my man Marcos Garza, GarzaLaw.com, thanking the sponsors. Please, if you feel led, and I'm going to share it with these guys at the end, but if we got you home to where you were going and we saved you on a hotel bill tonight, throw a couple bucks in the till for us tonight, and it'll help us to want to stay on longer the next time with the Florida game coming next week. You guys and gals, it's been a tremendous night being with you, watching all these great games with you. It's been a great night serving you. Back with my regular show from 11 to 1 every weekday. I hope you'll join us. Until then, for the Vol legend, Tony Robinson, for Jerry Colquitt and FEMA Quadrant 10, for superstar Alex Myers, this is Tony Basilio wishing you a great night. God bless. And go Vols. And on the way out, one final word. Let's pray for those folks in the Sunshine State. Do me a favor. Say a prayer for those folks. Pray that that storm, something will happen. It'll dissipate. It'll turn. But until we meet again, we love you. God bless.
God bless you.
And go Volunteers.